If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
And good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Lovely day out there. Can't complain. We've had good rain, and so those of you listening abroad, hurry on over. It's nice and green, real pretty. Always pretty, but you love it here. So hop on the bus, catch the bus to the plane, take a taxi to the plane, and hop on over here and have fun. It's happening right here in Hawaii. Anyway, we're going to be talking in the next half hour or so about fraud and what can be perceived as fraud. And my advice to many of you that are listening in out there, how do you avoid door-to-door salesmen ripping you off? You might ask that. And when you're asking that, here's what I have to say to you. Don't let them in. Just if you need to buy something, you can get something on discount or on payment plan at Sears. I'm not advocating for Sears or advertising for anybody, but go there because as seniors, and you're going to hear, I have a guest on the phone, Miss Carol Nielsen Gilbert, and she's going to share with you something that about a vacuum cleaner. And so stay alert, stay awake, and if you need to go get a cup of coffee, and if you want to sneak a little Jack Daniels in there to really stay awake, go ahead. I won't tell anyone. So anyway, I'm going to welcome her on. And good morning, Carol. How are you?
Good morning, Carol. I'm doing pretty good.
All righty. Well, other than buying nice vacuum cleaners and getting, as you suggested, that a bad deal, can you tell us a little bit about that? What happened? How did you get involved? Just, I'm sure the other listeners out there have been approached, and you heard my opening statements.
Yes, Carol. In the last 11 or 12 years that I've lived in this townhouse in IAEA, I've turned away numerous door-to-door salespeople selling anything from Hoover to Eureka to meat. But this couple had a real good opening line, tapping on my no solicitor sign on my window right next to my front door, saying, oh, I see you don't like solicitors. And I said, no. And they said, well, you'll be happy to know we're not selling anything. We were trying to find people to help us do an air quality survey, and we would really appreciate your help. If you have just a few minutes, we'll give you a 20-pound bag of rice for your comments.
Well, hold on now. You say they're going to do an air survey, so that means something's starting to smell already, huh?
Yes, it certainly did, but I didn't notice the smell through my door.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted.
That's okay, Carol. I always thought I was a very intelligent person, but I suffer from chronic migraines, and this just happened to be one of those days. I was not very sharp. I was about as sharp as a boiled noodle.
Mm.
And you know, air quality is really an important issue here in Hawaii with all of the fog and the dust from the golf course that I live on. And so it sounded legit to me.
Mm-hmm.
I let them in. That was my mistake.
The air quality survey sounded legit.
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay.
They never mentioned any kind of product. This was all they were here for, was just for my comments about air quality. And then, when I did let them in, one of them, Leo Leban, brought in the bottom part of a rainbow vacuum, which has water in it. And when he plugged it in, you could hear that, you know, it was doing something. He said this was his air quality machine and how it sucks up all the dust in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that all sounded like part of, you know, how we were going to test the air quality in my house. Well, it didn't give me the right information because it really smelled manure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it started. Air quality survey.
Air quality survey, going to give you a bag of rice if you let him give you the survey, if you participate in it, and what other little tricks that you can recall? Oh, and reminding you, tapping on your no solicitation sign.
Yeah.
Really bold, huh? But to knock on your window and still present this, so go ahead.
And these two people look like brother and sister. They're all smiles. They put you at ease. He called me auntie numerous times, like at the beginning of every sentence. He's mm-hmm. a real smooth talker.
Mm-hmm.
And he introduced Liz as his boss, and Liz disappeared. She was the one that said they were not salespeople, that they were just here to do the survey. And then she went out the door and down the sidewalk, I assume, to talk to other neighbors. And then Leo stepped right in with his little air tester. And the next thing I knew, he was hooking up a vacuum. But again, I'm not associating it with vacuum sales. He's merely sucking up all the dust from my couch. Well, I'm 70 years old. I have a lot of dead skin, and there's an awful lot of dust. There's a lot of dirt because I'm on the 13th hole of the golf course, so these hacks out there are, you know, bringing up all the dirt from the hazards out there. And so none of this really got me thinking about vacuums. It was just, again, it was just like his air tester. So he vacuums away on my couch, and then he disconnects the hose, and he had put a piece of black cloth there. And what he collected off of my couch, he said, Carol, this is what you're breathing. Mm-hmm. This is very hazardous, you know, and especially when you get older, your lungs are weak. And he said, your couch apparently is full of dust mites. And he said, that's really bad. That's very, very bad for your health. So I'm looking at that black cloth thinking, holy criminy. Oh, my goodness. Look what I'm breathing in. So he said, how much would you pay to have clean air? And I told him repeatedly, I'm on a pension, and I live on Social Security. I don't have money to be buying anything. Mm-hmm. And it never occurred to me, again, the migraines, the pain pills, they're all just, he's just la, 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 just talking along, and I'm just going right along with whatever he says. I just was not sharp that day. But I can tell you, Carol, I will never, ever again let anyone in my door.
Yeah, I am I overreacting or overstating that the best safeguard is just don't allow them into your home? The economy won't miss it if you are the most of the senior citizens were to tell these people that, no, that's okay, I'll buy at a fixed location. And speaking of that,
yes,
fixed location, the company that is associated with this is Aqua Dynamics,
yes.
Aqua Systems. Now, we went, you may have seen it on KGMB or Hawaii News Now. We gave them an information, and thankfully they produced a story on it. But that is located supposedly on 214 Sand Island Road, Unit KJ. Well, we went by there, and they're gone. It's empty. And the question I had right off the bat was, well, where were you to take it to get service? Forget the if all the sneaky other things that you're concerned with. What about repair? But in your situation, you asked them the second day that you informed him that you wanted to return it. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what was his response?
Or, I told him about the anxiety, how I woke up the next morning. And, you know, a little clearer-headed. And when I realized what I had done and when I realized how much this was costing me, over $3,000 for an $1,800 rainbow vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
I told him I was sick to my stomach. I couldn't sleep. And I begged him to please come and take this and give me my money back.
Mm-hmm.
Or not charge me. I hadn't paid him anything yet. But he just laughed and he said, well, I have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't reach him again.
And but he's giving you an address on their documents and on the paper. And so the total cost of this thing was $3,141 plus some interest or what have you, which would have driven it up to approximately $4,000-some-odd, correct?
If I had stretched it out and made monthly payments on this, it would have been an extra $1,600 in mm-hmm. interest.
And that's what he allowed you. You actually signed the document, but as you represented that, you say that he didn't hand it to you in the sense that you just purchased a vacuum cleaner.
No,
this is
no.
your representation. So then you have this document, and there is a law in the state of Hawaii. You're allowed, there's a cool-off period, 3 days. And there are some conditions on it, but in your situation, you informed him, and he didn't say, well, you don't qualify or I can't do it because you didn't satisfy these things. He just didn't call you back. Is that correct?
Yes, he said he would come over the next day. He mm-hmm. said, I'm in a rush right now, but I'll come by tomorrow. So I said, good, I look forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
He's very smooth. When he had me sign the paper, I thought I was signing the survey.
Mm-hmm.
He took the top portion that mentioned the money and the interest and everything. He folded that over, and then he held it down on my coffee table. being helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So now, he could hold it in place and I sign. But then he pulls out the pink copy, the third copy, which is almost illegible, and another slip, and he folded them in half. He put them inside of a booklet, and he put that booklet inside of a clear plastic sleeve that taped over the top. I didn't even look at it. I was feeling so awful by the time he left. I didn't even look at what, you know, he had put in there until mm-hmm. the next day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm talking with Miss Carol Nielsen Gilbert, and she is sharing with us a story and an experience of purchasing a rainbow vacuum cleaner and the hardship she has experienced and the cost and how they manufactured the story, as she describes, to get her to purchase it, but difficulty in returning it to them, and as they allowed under the law, the state of Hawaii. But thirdly, what happened was, and they were unreachable. The company has moved from its office with no. Did they provide you a forwarding address?
They never said they were moving.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how could you return it to an empty office?
Mm-hmm. So, once again, listeners out there, you know, I'm not going to try to get you to get a degree in consumer relations and consumer affairs. Here's my advice. And you could get this from Howard University or Yale, probably. Just don't let them in.
Yes.
That's the safest thing. And I all of you out there, don't let him in. I don't care if he's breathing and he says, if I need five swallows of water to rescue me, tell him, I see you have a fancy iPhone. Hit 911. And in fact, it can pinpoint you where you are. They'll bring water and everything else with you. Probably handcuffs, too, if you're here to rip me off. But honestly, ladies and gentlemen, and this company, so I bothered to go down to DCCA, Department of Consumer Affairs, and the company is owned by, Aquadynamics is owned by Joseph Irwin, and his articles of incorporation were to Joseph Irwin at 2818 Leolana Avenue, 202 in Honolulu. Again, that was that company. Then he has Aqua Systems, LLC. Once again, the mailing address of the office was 1330 South Baratania Street, Honolulu. And Irwin was the owner of that. And there was another person involved, a Quan, on the DCCA registration. So the lesson here is just don't let them in, first of all. And the kindness they get to you. But what we also did was looked at some of the records and visited the DCCA office. And we learned that 2013, there is a case that's been closed. 2011, there's a case there, two of them. And one was closed with the warning. And another one was closed. Basically, he just gets a warning letter. He ripped you off or what have you, as the people have been describing, and they file a complaint. He gets a warning, and then he promises to train his staff not to say or misrepresent things and be straight with the customer. Now, that's going to discourage you. So that's why I go back to this other warning to you and advice. That is, don't let them in, because you might think that the DCCA and the Consumer Affairs Office, is the Office of Consumer Protection, is going to help you. You might as well cast your fate to the wind and pray and curse and scream and pull your hair out, because they just ain't going to do it.
Right.
They're just not going to do it. I'm going to be very honest with you. It's yet another failed agency with staff and what have you, and they won't let the staff work because of political reasons, and some of the old guards are sitting there. And I would recommend that don't let them in. I don't care what it is. If they tell you, hurry out, your house is on fire, whatever tactics they use, just tell them, I'm going to stay in my house. I don't want you in my house, because I'll wait until someone that's not trying to sell me something tell me that there's an emergency. Because we see this over and over and over. where they try to, what, butter you up, I guess, and
yes,
and a bag of rice. Now, what happened was that Ms. Gilbert shared with us the documents and that she got in this transaction, and in one of them, they claimed, what was it, that they sold your contract to a company called what?
Preferred Credit in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Almost immediately, they sold my contract to this credit company, and the credit company is just as bad as they are, and they started pressuring me. I mean, I paid the entire amount off, finally, within 3 weeks of his being here,
mm-hmm.
and they still said they were going to charge $98 a month for interest. And I said, you know, I never sat down with you people and discussed a loan. I didn't need you. And how can you, I don't see how this is legal, that you can continue to charge interest on something that I paid off almost immediately in full. And they said, well, because of the contract we have with Aqua Dynamics and that you signed, Carol, I did not sign anything with this Preferred Credit.
Mm-hmm. Now, we understand that this company is now listening to the Outer Island listeners now,
yes.
is operating out there in Kona. As a result of that airing on KGMB, people have called in. So,
oh.
again, the company's name, watch out for Aqua Systems LLC,
mm-hmm.
Aqua Dynamics. And what's this gentleman's name that's selling the product?
Leo.
Mm-hmm.
L-E-O. And Laban. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name right, but it's L-A-B as in boy, A-N as in Nancy.
And you know that because this is from you actually photographed his ID, a lanyard that he had on him with this photograph
right.
and his name, and it says that he worked with these companies, correct?
And Rexair.
And Rexair, the company manufacturing the Rainbow vacuums. We're not going to question the ability of the Rainbow or the quality or whatever. We don't really care. But when
yeah.
people are, let's say that all things, you made a boo-boo. But if you can't contact them and get a respectable physical location so that you can deliver it back to them as you could not.
Right.
And then they kept putting you off. You mentioned some of the tactics. He said that he was at a funeral. Or attending and
yes.
why he couldn't.
He finally, after over a month, he finally called me and said he was over on Maui, that his uncle had died, and he was taking care of family business. He
mm-hmm.
said that he tried to get in touch with his boss, which is at Joseph Irwin, and found out that Joseph and several other employees are in Florida right now at a conference. Baloney.
Mm-hmm. And so it was always he have to defer to his boss, but he was
right.
the main person selling it to you. Now all of a sudden he wanted to come over and, he promised to come over and do what, vacuum it every 2 weeks?
Every 2 weeks.
And
you know, even when I thought about really getting upset, you know, for paying that much money, I thought, well, if he comes to my house every 2 weeks, and cleans my furniture, and he said he was going to vacuum upstairs, which is all carpeted in my house. I have my whole first floor is tile, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I need this expensive vacuum?
Mm-hmm.
But he's smooth. He's very smooth. He even wrote it on a sales slip 2 times per month, beginning on Sunday, something to that effect.
Mm-hmm. That he would come to your house and...
He would come to my house.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very smooth. And, you know, he still, up until the moment he left, he still never mentioned the vacuum.
Yeah.
And it's sitting here in my living room, and all the attachments are in plastic bags. They've never been touched. He never showed me. He never demonstrated how to use the vacuum.
I like your story because if someone's sitting listening on the sideline, and go, well, she just made a bad move, and you know it's on her. But I would submit to all of you out there, this method can take any one of you. I don't care if you were a psychologist or psychiatrist or a trickster or a magician. This style of operations can take you.
Yes.
And who wouldn't spend $3,100 for to get a bag of rice?
That's the most important thing. At least I got my 20 pounds of rice.
Yeah, I go further to say that even, you know something's wrong when you don't use a whole 20-pound bag of rice for a wedding.
Yeah.
And that's a lifetime commitment.
And this, I can laugh now, Carol, but this has kept me awake all month long. I've been in tears. I wake up and I have the shakes. I'm going through anxiety. And, you know, I worked almost 30 years for Pacific Bell. I had very good management jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not stupid.
Right.
But it just started from the moment they came to my door and said, "We're not selling anything." From that moment until they walked out the door, it was all so smooth, and it seemed to make sense. And you know what you do psychologically? You're so into trying to help them with mm-hmm. the survey, even though there was never anything on paper, no questions or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Even as he's setting the vacuum in the corner of my living room, it's just not, your brain has a way of Xing things out,
Right. Well, here's a text you shared with me from him. You represent that. It states, "Hey, Auntie Carol, I've texted and called my boss, and I still haven't gotten a response back from them. I called my other coworker to see if they were near." You see, my friend, you know, it's there's something wrong.
Yes.
And I see here, again, here's another text. "Yes, you can, Auntie Carol. Around what time will you be calling me back? That way I can make sure I'm not doing anything so I can tend to your call with no interruptions." But
yes,
there were no interruptions because he didn't respond, correct?
Right.
So this is the bait and switch, it appears. And any of you out there that have experienced these people or a similar situation, please give me a call at 782-6627 or email me at carol@carolcox.com. And let's make them walk around with their heads down, if not looking over the shoulder. And you know when people are walking and trying to sell you something and looking over their shoulders, they stumble and break their neck. We're not going to break the neck. Now, I don't advocate violence, but I just let gravity. Like that vacuum cleaner, gravity sucks too, right? So,
right.
And this is just wrong when you're going around preying on retirees or anyone, but they seem to have a great target, you know?
And speaking of praying, he asked me if I believed in God. He said that he and Liz were members of the New Hope Church, which mm-hmm. I've gone to many times.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I think he knows about New Hope is it was on the same street as Aqua Dynamics.
Right, it's right.
The Island Access Road,
mm-hmm.
so.
And by the way, again, you heard us just say Island Access Road. It's the address is 214 Sand Island Access Road, Unit J or KJ. Now, Unit J. And if you are some of you out there that have purchased this and have been waiting where you can take it, get it repaired, or have contact with these people, this was the address. I suggest that you don't bother to go there because they're just not there, and they didn't leave a forwarding address. You know, normally people will say, "We've moved," right?
Mm-hmm.
And with a beautiful sign and "We're going to miss you, but don't fret. We're right down the street," right? Or if you have any problems, we've moved out of town, but we've made arrangements for you to take this product to this business, and they will honor our contract.
Right.
Ladies,
I even gave him 10 cans of vegetables to take to his church.
Okay, go back to that. I want to mention that how they play and they pull at your heartstrings and
yes.
tug at it. How is that again? What happened?
He said he was collecting food for his church, and could I please donate 10 cans? He specified how much. And so, and this is after I'm telling him, you know, I'm living hand to mouth here, and he's asking me for 10 cans of meat or vegetables. So I had just gone to Costco, and stupidly I gave him 10 large cans of corn and kidney beans, which are very healthy.
Well, there's another dead giveaway. If a guy asks you for 5 loaves of bread or 10 cans of veggies, you better start thinking.
Yes. But it all made sense with all this Christianity he was trying to spread.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what is, you say you're going to file a complaint, even though it's, in my opinion, I think the way the offices run here now, you're in the Better Business Bureau.
Yes.
You know, I think that you're basically, you're at your own devices.
Yes.
But you must, I would suggest filing them, because if you file them, at least you're timely and what have you. And there may be other people, and we may be able to flush this guy out, and maybe our legislators or someone out there will,
yes.
On the Committee of Consumer Affairs, see this thing as an important issue rather than just having phone numbers. By the way, if you have any complaints and you want to try that system at the Office of Consumer Protection, phone number is 808-586-2630, 808-586-2630. Is there anything else in closing before we go?
No, kiddo. My whole purpose was just to, I don't expect to get my money back in any way, but I just want people to spread the word about them and shut them down. And like you said, I wouldn't trust anybody at my front door ever again. I don't care what they say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important. I want people to realize, no matter what they say,
mm-hmm.
about, no, we're not, because they all say that, I'm not selling anything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe them. Just close your door.
And so the message from the two Carols today, ladies and gentlemen, is that just tell them, don't knock on my door. Just go away. We don't need you. And honestly, because, ladies and gentlemen, they ain't giving, you're not paying extra for the house service. You're paying extra to be served, and they will serve it up to you. This is not the only issue or case where this has happened. Hold on 1 second. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. This is kind of reminds me of my wife and I. We were just a new couple, and we just had our daughter. She was a little baby. And I remember there was a Kirby vacuum cleaner salesman, and he pulled out a lot of strings, and my wife says, oh, come on, Dave, we gotta get this vacuum cleaner, because we gotta keep the rugs clean for our new baby and our daughter. and you know what? I mean, it was such an overpriced piece of machinery too. That was 30 years ago. That was about $1,700. I what? $1,700 for a vacuum cleaner? But this guy, he was a slick talker, and he talked to us, and here's another tactic. He's, you know what, if you get our easy pay plan, I mean, that will help your credit rating, and so then, you know, I mean, you're a new family, you're going to need credit, and oh, boy, anyway, we fell right into it, and I to this day, I say, what a bunch of fools we were. To even let the guy in the door, you're right.
We all can be had.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially when you're younger. You know, I bet you, you know, that's what they pick on. Younger people and older people, too. Vulnerable people. They make it sound like, they see your friend. And, you know, especially all elderly people, they're lonely, too, and they want... And this is like a friend coming in, and then they say, well, I'm a Christian and I'm this and that. And it's big.
So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I would suggest that what you do is be careful out there and do not bite on the bait. Hold on. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Well, we had an issue with the Department of Consumer Affairs. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Consumer Protection.
Yeah. We did all the paperwork for the what was happening. And then they said, oh, well, we can't do anything. But if the, when the company files bankruptcy, you will be on the list of creditors. That was the end.
Yeah. Well, I would recommend, ladies and gentlemen, if you think you got a safety net within the state agency, you got a hole in your head. You're dreaming. Even though it's there and the door is open, in fact, to go down there to get information on people that have violated, they treat them with greater secrecy and courtesy than you'll get.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you now, the best remedy for this to being screwed is to just don't let them in your home. Just have the ability to say no. And I know they're going to say, oh, Auntie, I was going to give you a bag of rice, or you give me 10 bags of cans of food. Just tell them, yeah, take it somewhere else, Joe. You know, because, ladies and gentlemen, they target you. And they know that the system, this gentleman, all he gets is a warning letter in one of the cases, a couple of them. And also, one of the cases that was filed against him suggested that they will do things to harm your credit.
Yes.
So it's out there, ladies and gentlemen, and all that he's required to do, apparently, is to apologize and let a warning, and that's it. So you're stuck, you're stripped and ripped off, and so any of these. So if you have any questions, please give us a call. Carol, thank you. Is there anything else in closing, Carol?
No, but your first caller made a good point I didn't even think of. I was thinking how they target senior citizens, but young people are a good target when they say, this is a good way to establish credit. Mm-hmm. And to take care of your little babies, your small children, keep your house clean and everything. So, I mean, they're slick. They are really slick.
Oh, yeah. That's how we felt for it, too, because I said, we can't afford $1,700, man. And then he said, oh, well, we have this easy payment plan and credit and all that kind of stuff. And then he says, it'll only be $89 a month or whatever.
Right.
And we felt for it because we wanted the extra credit thing and all that kind of stuff. But then, after we signed it like you did, I looked at the interest rates and everything else. And I said, shoot, look what we signed, man. And, you know, again, we fell into that, you know, because you know these people are so slick and they want to be your friend and
This case, I met with Miss Gilbert here, or Carol, we talked, and she said, well, I'm going to go tomorrow and close my account, because they may take money out. Well, she went the next morning, and what did you find, Carol?
I found that they had already withdrawn $98.95 that very morning. Well, it's in Minnesota, so they probably did this at midnight.
So, and this company that is supposedly have the contract is
Preferred Credit.
Preferred Credit out of St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Yes.
So, and the company in question here that sold you the thing is Aqua Systems and Aqua Dynamics, one and the same. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me. And if you have any more issues like this, and please, Carol, keep in contact. And we'll see if we can talk to some people and still look for this person because we understand on the Big Island and Maui, they're over there operating. So we'll try and follow them.
Good.
Okay, well, thank you. All righty.
Thank you, Carol.
All righty. Aloha.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
Oh.
Okay, guys. Thanks for you guys for listening in there. And just be careful. You don't have the insurance policy, the protection that really should be happening. You are vulnerable. You are exposed. The agency that is responsible, you basically, you're on your own. And I would submit to you the best defense against being taken for a ride financially is just don't let them in your home. They want to talk to you on the street. You meet people in the parking lot. Hey, can I talk to you for a moment, please? Or you see here, I'm in a contest, and if I am able to sell a couple, 10 of these a week, I can get to fly off to Bora Bora. Yeah, and, you know, my response always is, well, gee, then you should be on the plane by now because I heard it was a long flight. You're getting nothing from me. It's that time because people are willing to submit people to mischief and wrongdoing. And you can control it by just simply being able to say no. Don't wait until it unfolds or develops. Yes, anyway. But that's what you got to deal with, ladies and gentlemen. It's a bad thing, and don't wait until you get ripped off, and then caller, go ahead real quick.
Oh, hi, good morning. I'm going to make it quick, Carol. It's not like often I call, but I'm an owner of a Rainbow, and they are reputable. You know, they're local.
Right.
But these people, they're, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe what that happened to that lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like construction workers, they come, and or painters. You know, they're all honorable contractors, but there's that one few that stole maybe certain supplies, and then they go to home to home and hit the seniors, especially women,
mm-hmm.
and tell them, oh, you know, we can do this for cheaper, blah, 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 and what? And then they say, oh, but we need the cash to buy some supplies, and what? They take off, and then they leave everything there, and they're out of the, you know, money.
Oh,
but the
yeah.
point is, this incident I called my colors of Hawaii because I'm an owner over 40-something years, and mm-hmm. my cousin was owner way longer. But, you know, anyway, I called him, and then he said, yeah, he knows about it, and it is a scam, and it was on TV. I didn't see that special. I always see you on TV.
Well, thank you. It was...
No, and you, and then, you know, your pictures when you send?
Uh-huh.
When Makatilo had the fire like that? The you know, photo by Carol Cox. Is that, all right, you always there, you know.
Just trying to see it and send it so you folks can, you know, just
yeah, because we cannot go there. We don't really know until we see it on television.
Mm-hmm.
But I thank you so much. But you know, it's so sad that lady was in that situation.
Well, we're gonna pursue them in the right way.
Did you check Action Line?
No, we didn't, but we more likely we will. But
yeah, I think because they're from the mainland, they took off.
Well, no, they were here for some while. But one of the nice things about this particular case is that she had the presence of mind to photograph his ID.
Oh,
He made a mistake. He got caught up in his own game. He gave her his phone number. He called on his private cell and. Meantime.
Okay. Oh, I'm glad she got in touch with you, Carol, because, you know, you're really for the people and you can at least help her but I know as an owner and this company that is locally, you know, here, well, other islands too, Colors of Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
they're really reputable and I love the product. In
mm-hmm.
fact, I had a lot of, because I love it so much, I had a lot of luncheons at my home to mm-hmm. promote it. Because if it wasn't for that Rainbow, oh my gosh, I did, you know, I had a dog in my home for 11 years and didn't have one flea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you know the system, it's awesome. I know it's expensive, but it's worth that product. I mean, but you gotta get legitimate because it'll break down. It's like any homeowner who buys a product, gotta make sure where you're gonna get it repaired. Nothing lasts forever, right?
All right. Don't you like this, Carol Cox show? We get to,
we
get to chase people and then we get to do advertisements for the vacuum.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I don't like what, you know, you bring up, but hey, everybody, we all different. You know, the main thing we can't.
Well, you don't want to listen to the next hour.
Oh, no. You know why? I was say, Carol, I'm talking to you right on the, while I'm doing things, but that's all right. The main thing I'm learning from you, and it's good to get all kind of views, even Polka, sometimes out of it. But I know he means well. He has his own purpose while he's on the radio, and I adore all you guys, and I thank you. Well, anyway, to that lady, I really wish her luck. I'm so sorry that it happened to you because I know a lot of salesmen come to my home. In fact, I had to change my phone number at one time because I never did change my phone number now. That Kirby people was driving me nuts.
Wow.
And I called the company. I called the management. I told them my plight. Nothing was done. So the only solution was to change my number, and I never got bothered. Well, and then all of a sudden, they were out of sight for so many years. And all of a sudden, this young girl came knocking on my door. It was Kirby. I go like, oh, but she's cute, and she just got hired, so I wasn't rude or cocky to her. I just gave her my info, you know, and told her, sorry, I'm not interested, but right. I told her the story, and then I don't know if she's still employed. Maybe she's such a good girl, she said, I'm going to quit.
See, because...
But anyway,
yeah, huh? Well, thank you for your call. And
thank you. Yeah, because I love that product. It's wonderful. The things that I could... I can take one whole half an hour to tell you what the rainbow did for me as a homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we built a brand new home at that time.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, because I used to go, you know, Sears and buy that simple Kenmore. You know, we all Sears shoppers, right? But I see you laughing. But the point is, hey, you know, life changes, right? So you need something way better.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Anyway,
well, thank you for calling and continue
to... thank you for helping that lady, and you go for... I mean, well, I don't know if she can really... I mean, she's been taken.
Well, no, there's ways where if put a little pressure, something will come and give.
Yeah, I hope.
Or make it difficult where they'll be so poor and broke trying to sell to the next person who's been educated.
Well, anyway, to the listeners who own Rainbow or you just heard about it, yeah, they're expensive, but they're a wonderful product.
Right.
I mean, they're multi-purpose.
Now, if I check, am I going to see that you own the company?
Oh, no, I don't own the company. But, Carol, you know, I even promote you on the radio. When I journey out,
uh-huh.
Because I'm a real conservative, I was able to, it depends, you know. But the point is, I really admire people like you,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the talk radio. I mean, you know, I don't agree all the time, but you bring such good subject that we will not get it from anybody else. Even on the TV, I think AM radio, we get more educated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I'm retired now,
mm-hmm.
I'm so lucky that I can get chance to listen. So when I venture out, I'm telling everybody about you. You know, I see security guards. You know me, I'm friendly. As you can see, I'm talkative.
Uh-huh.
And I promote everybody that I get a lot of respect and informative. And
yeah.
I tell them about it.
Let me ask you this, and I appreciate that because you'd be amazed at how many people. It's shocking, astounding to know how many people are listening to this show. And I really appreciate that and never want to drift from the center line knowing that all I'm doing is bringing information and while I may express some concerns, but it's just information that I believe that'd be helpful. But how about state rights? You mentioned you were a conservative. Are you familiar with that term, state rights? The solid South? Are you familiar?
The what?
The solid South?
No.
Are you familiar with the Dixiecrats?
No, if I do, I'm not. I mean, I heard it, but I'm not going to dwell on it, kind of thing. I have my own life.
Right. I mean? But no. I mean, from a political, we say we're conservative and we tend to express our way. But
I'm actually a Democrat, but I don't like what the Democrats have become.
Right.
So, but I make my own wise decision. I do my own investigation.
Right.
I mean, we all, that's all we can do. You know, listen and, you know,
and get up
because whatever will be, right, as the song
right.
goes.
Well, what I'm going to be doing in the next hour is talking about, it's political, but not in the sense, you know, with this new discussion about Black Lives Matter, then you have the lady in Kentucky, is it, that will not sign the marriage license?
Yeah, but that kind of, I don't like it, because all lives matter. Even though, look what the poor are happening to the police officers.
Yeah, you know, I understand that, but let me share with you. So what I'm saying to you, I'm going to share with you folk out there a thing called the Dixiecrats, and it was a party, part of the Democratic Party in the South.
Yeah, I know. I have a lot of injustice was done.
Well, no. This isn't about injustice. This is about the fabric of America. And when we say I'm a conservative, and when I say I'm a liberal, and
I'm an independent then.
Well, I understand that, but don't worry about it. I'm not trying to fence you in. I'm just trying to share with you some specifics that might be enlightening, and you might understand me better when I express myself, because I'm equipped with a bit of knowledge that...
Oh, yeah. No. I know where you're coming from.
The Democratic Party, do you know that 35 of them in the 1948, when they were at a convention, 35 of them walked out, and they wanted to form the State Rights Party and the Dixiecrats? You familiar with that? Strong Thurmond? Lester Maddox and all
know.
Of those.
If I did see it.
Well, this goes in to talk about all of those things. And so please join me in the next hour, and we're going to talk about that. And you might find, you ever heard of the pig laws?
No.
Ever heard of black laws?
Oh, no.
Ever heard of any slave laws?
No, I bet, like I said, I'm just a simple person.
Yeah. Well, did you know,
That's why I like to listen on the radio, because it gets a lot of opinions, difference, you know?
You know that in Arizona, it was still as late as 1962, it was illegal for blacks or Asians or Filipinos or Indians to marry whites?
Oh, yeah, that
but
I know.
But did you know, though, that that was a Democratic Party pushing that? So we have to be careful. But we're going to come back. The board is lit up right now.
And it's top of the hour.
No, okay. it's probably somebody buying a
back. Well, we're drifting politics again. My mom said to stay away from politics and religion.
And that's a dangerous precedent, too, when you stay away from
it. But life is always politics and religion.
Never stay away from something that exists, because you must always be observant and watchful. You must be, because if you stay away from it, and guess what? You find it in your bedroom telling you who you can marry and who you can't marry.
That's why I read a lot, I listen, you know, and whatnot. So,
okay.
Carol, I thank you so much.
Alrighty. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Caller, good morning. Thank you. Real quick, we got 30 seconds.
Yo, what's up, Carol?
Not much, man. You got your 5 seconds. Okay, take
care. I was going to say hello. That's a Labor Day weekend coming up.
Thank you, then. Appreciate that. All righty. Okay, we'll be back here shortly, and it's just so much fun. And watch out for when the knock goes on the door. Just guard your persons. Be careful, you know. So that's the way it is. We'll be back shortly.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
We're having a party, dancing to the music played by the DJ on the radio. The cokes are in the icebox, popcorn's on the table. Me and my baby, we're out out here on the floor. So, Mr. Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby. Everybody's swinging. Sally's doing that twist now. If you take requests, I got a few for you. Play that song called Soul Twist. Play that one called I Know. Don't forget them mashed potatoes. No other songs will do. Let me tell you, Mr. Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby. Having a party. Everybody's swinging. Oh, we're dancing to the music.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Thank you for joining me. You can pick us up live at KWAI 1080 AM and .com or carolcox.com. That's any day of the week if you find yourself wanting to hear what's going on with John Nolan or the solo guy, 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock on Fridays. John, 5 days a week at 5 to 7. And or Polka on Saturdays. You know that you can get any of our shows live on the Internet. So whatever nook and cranny you're working in that day, you can still listen to us over the phone or whatever device you have. But, you know, there's this, always this debate, and people are so dismissive. And I let me just say up front why I'm taking this approach and discussing this today. Because there are so many people out there so well-equipped with a real flippant excuse. And there's the issue about people being shot and color, white, black faces don't matter, black lives matter and whatever. And I've said earlier in earlier shows, how is it that you could be bothered that someone being shot and they say Black Lives Matter and you ain't said a damn thing about anything and you won't stand up, you let people get shot and policemen, you see the video and you see all of that and they get exonerated and they get freed. And so at some point enough is enough, so says many people. And so the greatest insult, I think, in my opinion, as I observe from a distance, is that to be told that you don't have a right to complain. And then, well, every life matter. Of course every life matter. It's not the right of any human being to take the other life anyway. And it's unfortunate that policemen are shot. I was in law enforcement and would never want to have been shot and didn't ever want to shoot anyone. But let me just tell you, this is being really crazy. So I decided that I would share with you and some of those of you that believe in taking the pill of knowledge and swallowing it and accepting it and wait if it's a remedy or not. And there are some of you just not going to see it anyway. So the idea is to put it out there, run the flag up the post, and you'll know where we stand. But many of you are not familiar with the Dixiecrats. Some of you may have never heard of it. You know, miscegenation, the law prohibited races to marry one another. And we often say, well, these things happen in slavery time. And I'm here to say to you, no, just as recent, Now, Alabama in 2000, right? Only 59% of the people, 59.49% of the people voted to say that it was okay to have interracial marriage. Okay? It wasn't 500 years ago like a lot of you like to gravitate back. So when a person think like that and prohibit you from marrying who you fell in love with, another human being, how much credit do you give them for the rest of their rational thoughts or their irrational thoughts? Or how much credit do you give or how much stock do you put in their assessment if they're willing to? And just to share with you, in 1962, Arizona prohibited racist bans from marrying whites, blacks, Asians, Filipinos, and Indians. In California, it was 1948, not just slave days, mind you. And 1959, Idaho prohibited blacks and Native Americans and Asians from marrying whites. So, again, where did this come from, though? It comes from this party called the Dixiecrats, and many of you now know them as Republicans, but not the Republicans that you really should know. You see, because the Dixiecrats were part of the Democratic Party in the South. They were the Solid South. And we'll talk about that. You know the Lester Maddox, the Fielding L. Wright, the George Wallace, Orville Faubus, Ross Barnett. These were people that were in the Democratic Party. And in 1948, they decided at the convention to Hubert Humphrey was making, and they decided to leave the party and start out on their own in states' rights. So when you hear Texas and Perry and all of those folks talk about states' rights and keep the federal government out, imagine they want to talk about tearing up the country, because if you, the rule is states' rights. So that means out of the 50 states that we have here, you would have a set of laws for each incident differing. So we have consistency and civil rights and what have you. So there was unity and continuity within the states. They want to make it illegal to have marriages. They want to do certain things and have segregation. So all of these people that I mentioned, the state rights, and when you utter these words, it's a state's rights, and Huckabee and what have you, it's a state right. He is leading you down a path of bigotry, racism, hatred, and anything that you can come up that would describe a vile act, a vile human being, period. I said it, it's here, that's the way it is, because the facts are on my side. So you look at 1965, Indiana said that, well, they gave a little ground, said only blacks could not marry whites. And in Maryland, in 1967, it became legal for blacks and Filipinos to marry a white person. I didn't write this up. Who wrote this up? States' rights, the Democratic Party, who were staunch racists, segregationists. And so many of you, when you talk about you're Republican and you're, well, you see in 58 when the gentleman called Mr. From Arizona at the time, and I'll get you his name real quick. This is when they decide to gravitate to the Democrat, the Dixiecrats. You see, they went back to the Democratic Party after they found they weren't going to be successful. But then they said, well, it's better we go back into the party, kind of like the Tea Party today. And in turn, but then when they decided to go further and work in Arizona in 58, they decided to become part of the Republican Party. So when you folks out there talk about it's a right, states' rights, and we need too much federal government, you're courting the devil. And the devil was never, his fork was never taken from him. He never lost his heat. Nothing changed. It's just changed parties. And the black laws, it, they call it the South, Southern South. Barry Goldwater was his name in 58. So you can check all of this. They want the states' rights. They want freedom from government interference. Right? Government And they want state rights parties oppose racial integration. State right groups keep Jim Crow in. They believed in white supremacy. I didn't say that. I didn't make this up. You go back and read the history, and you'll understand why it's so uneasy and not calming when you hear people. It's one thing to know that they're there. It's another to have people that have no freaking idea what they're talking about, and it's just, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm liberal, I'm conservative, and I believe that we should have the right to, come on, folks. You don't have the right to gun down people in the streets and then get exonerated, and then when there's one, then you say, well, see, they shot the policeman. It's all wrong. But we need to go back if we're going to fix this thing and call ourselves civil-minded, free people, good thinkers. We're on the wrong path. Our history does not support that in, as we know it with these parties. So isn't it funny that the Democrat Party here in Hawaii, for example, apply the same tactics? There was laws of vagrancy against African Americans or blacks in the South. These are not laws or things that I, and I'm not soliciting sympathy from you. I'm just taking the opportunity to say these are the facts, ladies and gentlemen. So when you utter, well, that's, you know, and this and other lives matter, you must task yourself. You owe it to society. You owe it to the other human beings on this planet if you're going to coexist. To say, I understand why when they walk in their moccasins, they have a different pain. I'm not going to be dismissive of them and jump to conclusion from a clip that I saw on CNN or Fox News. There is a history here that we have yet to digest and ingest and deal with it, and that is racism. The Dixiecrats were instrumental in seeking to continue the racist practices throughout the United States. The Northern Republicans, there were some rules they borrowed from it, but this Dixiecrats, this whole process was, for example, generating laws such as the pig laws, making it difficult if you were caught taking a farm animal. You were in turn incarcerated substantially, significantly. Pig laws, black laws. Black laws prohibited gathering of blacks in any one stance or in public places. Now, I know many of you out there said, but that was old days, and the laws have changed. Well, see, you can change laws, but when it's an institutionalized practice, when do you flip the switch off in the institution and look at its impacts? When? So around us, is we keep hearing this chorus of the state rights. Can you imagine? Just deal with traffic, for example. We don't have to talk about race. Every state has a different rule. You go to travel, cross state lines. That means you have to become familiar with every state law in that state. And I'm sure there's various state laws and that apply, but there's some continuity within the state. So the black laws, when you talk about state rights and all, this is the same people that told us no congregating of black people. The slave code prohibited and enslaved prohibited the gathering without a white person present because they feared it might organize or express support for each other. Prohibited from marrying. This is the right-wing party, the Democrats, the Dixiecrats. And just to read you... those of you that are out there that want to wave this flag and talk about what's right and the police are getting killed, that's not going to solve anything. It's going to exacerbate and inflame the issue when we're all rational thinking or have the capacity to think rationally. But let's take Ross Barnett. He served as governor in the South, in Mississippi, the Deep South, the Solid South. During his time as governor, Barnett, he was a staunch segregationist and a Democrat. But once again now, I remember the Dixiecrats left in 48 and came back because it didn't work for them. And then when Goldwater came in, they decided we'll jump track, become part of the Republican Party, never changing their ways. So they were noted for their clashes with the civil rights movement. They fought the civil rights movement. So when you hear the lady talk about Jesus tells me that I shouldn't do this, then that's fine. I have no problem with what Jesus told you. But take it out on the street and give up your job, because this is a government that represents everybody, that taxes everybody, and they do have civil rights, and the Supreme Court has spoken. But if you have a state rights organization, a mindset like the Huckabees, I mean, if your name is Huckabee, there's something wrong with you anyway, just to be honest with you. You just don't know your limits. And then Barnett arranged for the arrest of Freedom Riders in 1961 and had them incarcerated in Parchman. That's the fancy prison there in Mississippi, there in Bolivar County where I live. So when you say state rights, I just share this with you to let you know what you're speaking of is okay, it's your prerogative, but understand that I have a different view and a different understanding of who these people really are, you see. And they are staunch segregationists, to the point that, give you a few quotes that Ross Barnett, the governor, as governor, he's known for these infamous and famous words: I love Mississippi, I love her people, our customs, I love and I respect our heritage. What is your heritage? What is that? Well, no black people being able to marry anyone. No black people allowed to assemble. Nobody can teach a black person to read or write. If you're caught teaching them to read or write, you get lashes or whipped or pay fines. Now, I know it's probably a long, long time ago. But if we forget our history, then it soon repeats itself. And so it's repeating itself right now, playing out in our minds, in our gestures, in our ways. And until 1960, Mississippi had no alternative to segregation. And many of them, as they call it, the Bible Belt, as you know, Barnett, for example, was a Sunday school teacher. And he declared that, quoting him, the good Lord was the original segregationist. He put black man in Africa, and he made us white because he wanted us white, and he intended that we should stay that way. Barnett also said that Mississippi had the largest percent of black Americans because, quote, they love our way of life here, and that way is segregation. So those of you out there talking about states' rights, this was one of the founders and participated in it, right? And this little nugget should convince you that something is wrong when someone say, Strong Thurmond, staunch racist, South Carolina governor, then soon went to Washington, served there had one of the longest filibusters. Really a staunch racist, a staunch segregationist. But you know what? And Strom Thurmond's position, I guess we wouldn't say black lives matter, but black girls do. Because you see, this racist, this bigot, while he was preaching this hatred and states' rights and promoting it, he impregnated a young lady, 16-year-old girl, by the way, mind you. And you states' rights want to talk, and you want to talk, and you want to follow that? He impregnated a 16-year-old girl. Now, wait, let me back up. Well, she was black, so maybe she wasn't a human being according to the black laws or the slave laws or the Jim Crow. So black people, their lives, as we see nowadays, don't matter. But he was able to impregnate. Did he get charged for rape? Nope. Kept it a secret. Well, of course, he paid for her way to go to college. But Barnett, going back, he was not only a man of hatred and a segregationist and instrumental in the Dixiecrat and the states' rights. I'm just telling you, you can go off next time and say what the states' rights are, and you can keep it to yourself or you can promote it. But The gentleman that shot Medgar Evers, a civil rights leader in Mississippi, Dela Beckwith, Byron Dela Beckwith, was on trial for murder of the African-American civil rights activist Medgar Evers, right? An all-white jury found him not guilty. Isn't that funny? Really? We see it now on TV. They didn't have iPhones and surveillance cameras and officers carrying cameras in those days. But we see it now, and they get shot. Black men are being shot. Other people, whites too, are shot. But just to throw that in there, white lives matter. But I don't see you out there rallying and screaming when black people are shot. So you might want to say to yourselves, I understand why they were compelled to go out, because we sat by and sat idle and said nothing, because we believe in government. We believe that the federal government imposing its laws on state laws is wrong. I think that's what the terrorists are attempting to, is separate us all and have enclaves of hatred and different religions and what have you. I think that's what. So it, could this be defined as racism and terrorism? I don't know. I'm just tossing it out there, and as I say, but again, going back, the jury was unable to reach a verdict on the man killing, Dela Beckwith killing Medgar Evers. So Ross Barnett, the governor, interrupted the proceedings while Medgar Evers' wife was testifying to shake the hands with Beckwith. Now, he was eventually, Dela Beckwith was eventually convicted at a subsequent trial 3 decades later. You understand? And that's a movie about it. It's called The Ghost of Mississippi. That's just one now, ladies and gentlemen. This is your state rights. This is the same party, these people that are over there in Kentucky and all those saying, we have our rights and the federal government should stay out. You could imagine what would be happening. I would probably be flogged in the next 5 minutes if I was in a state rights state, if the civil rights didn't matter, if the freedom of speech didn't apply to me in this, you know, in the Constitution. Imagine that. But while whites could carry guns, blacks were prohibited under the State Rights Act. So you see, so half of this thing called state rights and it's our rights, the federal government should, but you weren't mindful of not discriminating and being fair in these state right issues. I'm just telling you the truth now, and you can go away and get mad, and I understand, and some of you will probably go and listen to whatever, Jimi Hendrix, and drink some wine afterwards. But I'm just telling you, there's more to this whole picture. Now, Barack Obama was 6 years old when he was born, but fortunately in Hawaii it was okay, by the way, you see. He was 6 years old when the laws were okay here. You understand? So these people that hated Barack Obama and said he was half black, half white, the right-wingers and the states' right people, was it based on this interracial prohibition against interracial marriage? We don't know. But if they are standing on a street corner and pounding the table saying, we do not believe that blacks should be going to the same school, we do not believe that blacks should be congregating, we do not believe that anybody should be teaching blacks how to read, and on and on and on. And then you want to have a logical explanation when we say, well, you know, here's the history. Well, I don't care about that. That's you need to let that go. Well, no, we're not going to let it go because we can't. It was whipped into us. Each time the crack of that whip broke the skin, it was indelibly etched that we will never tolerate racism and hatred and bigotry because we are the receivers of it. And we knew exactly whether you like us or not. I'm just sharing with you now. You can be mad if you want to, but it's okay. I understand. Just go out and get some prescription drugs, and you'll be all right tomorrow. But the issue does not go away. You understand. And so even in the Jim Crow period, and these laws in the minds of some still exist, right down to the point where we don't provide, through Jim Crow, do not provide the same services, municipal services, water, trash, and all of that, even in the unions. So when you talk about that, at least equip yourself so that you can, if you dare, stand there and be and listen for 5 minutes. You will hear that there's more to the clatter and the clinging and the Black Lives Matter issue. You'd hear it, and you'd go away being able to draw a conclusion a little bit better. This state rights thing is nothing more than a definition, a way of defining America and fragmenting it and ripping it apart. Because we already know what it did. We already know where it came from. So let's go to George Wallace. He was also a Dixiecrat. And again, good people. I'm sure all of you had turkey dinner with him. Great man. I'm sure if you were asked the average state's rights believer. But the problem is, George Wallace was one of those people and from Alabama. And George Wallace, remember what he said out there? He was there to allow no black kids to go into school. And in the name, quoting him, in the name of the greatest people that have ever trod this earth, I draw the line in the dust and toss the gauntlet before the feet of tyranny. And I say, segregation now, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. This is your state rights leader, folks. When you talk and blurb all these things out there, and you go, well, gee, that guy, he's not listening to it, and we shouldn't talk politics. Probably an accurate way of dealing with it, because you're really not talking politics. You're talking facts and figures, if one dare to speak these things as I do. And so it's basically, you don't want to hear it because you know it's wrong. We cannot have 50 states in these United States and commonwealths and what have you and call ourselves a free people when the underlying current, the fabric, we have weevils in the system that constantly talk about the rhetoric of a black man being a president, but yet you don't know where it's not misplaced hatred. It's hatred that has been embedded through this party called the Democratic Party, through the Dixiecrats, and now through the states' rights people. You can call it what you want to, and please give me a call anytime. And so that was George Wallace, and there's much more about that. So, again, Fielding Wright, Lester Maddox. Let's talk about Lester Maddox, and I'm just taking a little tidbits now. Again, these are state rights people, okay? And minding you now, keep in mind when the Civil Rights Act was passed and know how it was fought, people fought against it, as recent as 64 and 65. Just remember that now and the renewal of it. So when you ask these questions, just understand some of us are equipped with the memory and a knowledge and a history. And so in Georgia, Lester Maddox and George Wallace, you know, was from Alabama. So you know that when Dr. Martin Luther King died or was assassinated, murdered, Maddox campaigned hard for states and rights, state rights, and maintained segregationist stance constantly. That was his forte. When Dr. Martin Luther King died, he denied Dr. Martin Luther King the right to lay in state in the state capitol. Now, we all quote Dr. Martin Luther King now. We all know the benefits of the hard work and trying to change that he gave his life like many others did. But this is the way they stoop low. This is your state's rights leaders, the ones. So when you see that the bus is not unloading when you pull up and say, we're having a state rights convention, because there are some of us that have a memory that's so, it's has a stench to it that before you even get to speak about it. So that's just one of them. Orville Faubus, Arkansas. He used the National Guards to stop African Americans from attending Little Rock Central High School. Remember that? As part of a federally ordered racial desegregation. States' rights. the Huckabees, the Perrys, and the ones that are now saying, well, you know, other lives matter too. Well, then if they do, then get out there and join us and start fighting these crickets and see what happens. Don't be so jumpy. We're not making false allegations. We know where they get us. So this gentleman, Mr. Orville Faubus, was also states' rights, and then he even had dared to run for president at one time, but they had their butts handed to them in a basket, and so they decided it just isn't just not working with Strom Thurmond and all those guys, so we'll join in with Rockefeller. It seems to be more suitable for our hatred and our bigotry. And we'll call ourselves the States' Rights Party. You understand? The Deep South, the Solid South. So the Faubus ran for governor, and he was quite progressive in this, and he did in fact fight for desegregation later on, but for a reason. So Fielding Wright was a Democratic Party member, of lieutenant governor of Mississippi at one time, and became the governor. And here is his kind words. This is taken out of the Washington Post, December 21, 2001. He states, Negroes made up half the population. Their governor, Fielding Wright, told them, quote, if any of you have become so deluded as to want to enter our white schools, patronize our hotels and cafes, enjoy social equality with whites, then true kindness and sympathy requires me to advise you to make your homes in some other state, end quote. So, you see, that's why people hunker, and people, if you notice, they probably, especially people of color or African-American descent, when you see that you start to talk about state rights, just giving you a little whisper in your ear that maybe they're not liking you or anything. We already know what that means. We already know what it represents, all of that. So, and we're not thin-skinned and sensitive as African-Americans. We're intellectually motivated and inclined to be intellectual like you. Sometimes we find ourselves challenged to understand how you could stand by and see a cop shoot someone and then only then blame the people that protest for it. It causes a little heartburn, but then they got pills for that, and we tend to get by or get our diabetes or heartburn, whatever. But anyway, unpleasant at all these, this was. The Democrats inadvertently performed a great service to the South by demonstrating that the race issue is no longer a certain ticket. And that's when they lost their butts in the races. They got the message. Race baiting, most people are smarter. But there are still some of us that want to ride the train of the states' rights. So I just thought I would share that with you. And there's so much more. And I can't begin to tell you where do we stop. But now, in opposition to the civil rights, this is Strom Thurmond now, of 1957. He conducted the longest filibuster in the Senate, 24 hours and 18 minutes. In 1960s, he opposed the civil rights legislation of 1964 and 65 to end segregation and enforce constitutional rights of African Americans, including suffrage. He always insisted that he had never been a racist, but was opposed to excessive federal authority. He attributed the movement to practice unconstitutional rights and the people that promoted constitutional rights as communist agitators. So, you know, he also goes on, all the laws in Washington and all the bayonets of the army cannot force the Negro into our homes, into our schools, our churches, and our places of recreation and amusement. While talking all that smack and gotten half a great percentage of the American population cheering about the right-wing party and the Democratic Party, the Democrats and the Dixiecrats and segregationists and white supremacists, he somehow, at his age of 22 years old, while growing up to going along to become a racist or what have you, maybe he wasn't one, but he found that this beautiful black girl named Essie Mae Washington Williams, and he impregnated her, and he kept it a secret. And you know what? All of those state rights people, even though they knew their rules and their laws were to prohibit blacks from having sexual intercourse with whites. Wait, no, I'm sorry. That would be, when it's a white person, they get to do anything because white lives, black lives didn't matter. You see, that's what this is all about. This isn't something that we just decided to start singing in chorus, that black lives don't matter. Our lives never mattered, you see. So when you, it's a cheap shot and a very uneducated gesture on your part, any of you, to engage in the debate about white lives matter, red lives matter, when in fact our lives have never mattered. And the institution states that. Our leaders reinforce that. They filibustered that. They did all of that. And all we have today in modern times is to find ourselves needing or compelled to defend in an argument or a debate whether black lives matter. The American fabric say, based on the political process, that black lives have never mattered. And it never ended. No one turned the switches off. The institution is there, folks. People as high, and you know that a governor is the head of state. A governor has a decision to control the population through his National Guards when the federal government is not using the National Guard. So the next time you see a cell phone video of a black man being shot, don't get excited. We've seen it. We've known that the rules and the slave laws and the black laws that said clearly that if a white person was stricken by a black person and it drew blood in the face, then that black person would receive capital punishment. If a black man impregnated a white woman, then that white woman would be compelled or consigned to work for that black man's owner until her husband died. Yeah. So black lives do matter. It's just that they wouldn't matter based on the information that you're disseminating. But this is a battle that black people struggle with every day from the institution. And I welcome any of you to, if you really want to talk now, not talk politics, but talk about the real issues, the foundation from which you stand. And so, you know, a stature is never going to kill anyone. That's what many of you argue. A flag is never going to kill anyone. But the vestiges of all of this, what it represents, see, you don't know the whole story, and you haven't tasked yourself with learning the whole story. But thank you for joining the Carol Cox Show. I'll try and teach you a little bit of it, and maybe you will become a better person and understand that when it comes to social issues, whether it's gay rights, with the hatred of Jews, the hatred of blacks, or the hatred of Filipinos. And when we start waving that banner and singing that chorus of states' rights, you better know that there's a problem. Something's embedded in that. Carla, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comments.
Man, I got to congratulate you on two things. First, I'm going to get to this one, but first I want to congratulate you on your excellent, excellent research that you did in the past, too. But now we go back to this one. I tried to call you before to congratulate you on your research is just impeccable. It's magnificent. When I first heard, I'm going to say, and I'm right with you, when I first heard Ben Netanyahu say Israel's right to exist, I deem it exact parallel with us. That's one thing. Number two, when they took the first slave from Africa or killed the first slave in Africa on their journey bringing them here, they declared war on us, and also we are, it made us a theoretically a foreign relations problem. That's the second thing. And man, you're saying everything. I was telling people recently, this Black Lives Matter, they've been killing us for 500, 800 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now, just because the voice, like Shaka said, God said to Abel, or Cain, your brother's voice is crying, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. What really is happening is the voices we hear today are also echoing from the ancestors through these people today. And I'm going to stop right there and let you take it from there.
Okay. Thank you. Well, let me just comment on the state rights. Those of you that believe state rights and you keep whatever it is, you think the federal government is an evil entity. I don't believe that the federal government is evil. I believe that there are some components of it that are broken and dysfunctional, but I also accept this fact. When I know that there are state rights people are present involved in government that are willing to become segregationists and white supremacists and all of that, then I have to keep a jaundiced eye and project it on these people, because even though they're in government, we know what they stand for. So are they going to be working with the president, whoever he is, whether he's black, white, Chinese, whatever? So knowing that the federal government is an entity that I welcome all the time, and I'll give you some examples, just some of the provisions. And I took some of this, being quick about it, because I went to Wikipedia, and I caution you not to use everything out of Wikipedia for accuracy, but I've checked many of these things in cross-checking, just making sure. But, and then I did some other stuff on the history, but take, for example, Virginia. States' rights, now this is what I'm speaking to in states' rights. Act 11, all persons, in 1639, all persons except the African slaves are to be provided with arms and ammunition, or be fined at the pleasure of the governor and the council. So, you see, you know, you hear that it's our right to bear arms. These bigots and these segregationists and these staunch racists and these white supremacists got you saying, well, you know, we should be, yeah, they were, but they're talking about an old law. In Virginia now, and just per state, and show you why it's fragmented and why we need consistency and continuity through a federal government. In Virginia in 1662, whereas some doubts have arisen whether children got by an Englishman upon a Negro shall be slave or free, be it therefore enacted and declared by this present Grand Assembly that all children born in this country shall be held bond or free only according to the conditions of the mother. So this guy running around now calling him Donald Trump with the mongoose for hairpiece, does that sound familiar? He wants to evict everybody from America. Will he be the first to crank up his plane and leave? Because I don't recall seeing anybody that looked like him in America in those days, before the settlers came. So in Maryland in 1664, quote, whatsoever the freeborn English woman shall intermarry with any slave shall serve the master of such slave during the life of her husband, and that all the issues of such freeborn women so married shall be slaves as their fathers were. Now, imagine a black guy becoming the president and try to work amidst a bunch of staunch, declared state rights people, Dixiecrat, supremacists, white supremacists. Imagine that. What kind of cooperation do you think he would get. Well, let's talk about the Congress. Is there some resemblance that maybe some of this states' rights stuff spilled over? Is it all about the betterment of America and taking back the country? Or was it that we were seeing for the first time in modern times how supremacy works, white supremacy? Just asking. Now, I don't mind, you know, mean to scare you and have you to go in a closet and hide and thinking that I think that you're evil for being states' rights. I'm just borrowing your time to educate you so that you'll know why I'm nervous and why other black people are nervous, because we know the history. We're reminded daily in a fashion that institutionally we were met with it when we walk out, when we go for jobs. Today, you know, you don't send a picture with your job. They can't ask you to send a picture. But when blacks in the old days, they were required to send a picture. And then you would never get a call back. So, 1705, now, I know this is all the way back there, right? But see, when they got rid of slave laws, they adopted black laws and then pig laws. If any slave resists his master, correcting such a slave, and shall happen to be killed in such correction, the master shall be free of all punishment, as if such accident never happened. Let me see here. Black guy gets stopped for a tail light. He gets out of his car and he runs. He's gunned down like a dog. Bang! And then it's erased. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why we utter these things. Black Lives Matter. That's why. It's not out of hatred. It's not that we're begging for help. It's just one other method that we seek to have redress and have this carnage stopped. That's all we're doing. We have every right to. And you have every right to remind us that all lives matter. But we're so damn busy trying to protect ourselves and eke out a living and survive car stops. I mean, imagine. Baby, can you go down the store and get some ham for lunch and meat? I got to make lunch for the children. Okay. Woo! Pull them over. Okay, get out of that car. What did I do wrong? You don't ask any questions. Bang! And then you sit up there, the state rights who want to remind us that white lives matter and every life matter, won't say a word. They're tugging at your sensitive strings too, ladies and gentlemen. So I think the grandest insult, the greatest insult, is that you try and dismiss us for responding. We have every right to respond in any way and fashion that we want to. I don't believe in violence. I would never advocate for violence. But if you're offended by people standing there holding their hands up saying Black Lives Matter, then you surely got a problem. You got a big problem. Because freedom of speech in your state's rights. But no, those freedom of speeches were guaranteed by a federal government that you tend to tell us is evil. Louisiana, a slave who, having struck his master, as I told you, or his mistress, or husband of his mistress, or children, shall produce a bruise or shedding blood in the face, shall suffer capital punishment. But if you kill a black person, you could treat it as it never happened. Wow. Caller, go ahead with your comments or question.
Hi, Carol. You know, this kind of reminds me of the Black Panther Party. Remember, you know, of course, these folks were all, I mean, the Southerners and all that, they were in favor. Oh, gun rights, we got to defend ourselves, you know, and that kind of stuff. But when the Black Panthers decided to get guns and defend their territory from the police brutality they were subjected to. if you remember J. Edgar Hoover, you know, he was going to break up the Black, well, he did break up the Black Panther Party. He just infiltrated it.
Well, yeah, but see, guns don't win you anything, whether you're a Black Panther or Pink Panther or a Yellow Coward. It brings you nothing but more grief. These are issues that you can't shoot it out. And you must deal with them intellectually.
Well, I think they were kind of, it was kind of a symbolic thing, the Black Panther.
Nah, this is, so, look, what, this is what you get when you are symbolic, the gesture that you end up creating the sentiment that there they go, those violent black people with guns.
Well, right.
And,
you know,
and it's, it's an invitation. It would be the equivalent, as the bigots like to say, the boy came to a gunfight with a knife. There's no place for it. The Black Panthers, I mean, they can do what they want to do, but it's going to accomplish nothing because guns to seek justice and wedding with justice and guns and bullets and bombs brings no justice, brings no freedom from nothing. You know, you can't blow someone straight.
No. But it's just a hypocrisy. If you remember, Ronald Reagan was trying to say, "Well, we can't have this." We're for gun rights, but not for these black folks. You know.
Again, that's why I read that black people were prohibited from having guns, but white people, the government they advocated giving guns to them.
Oh yeah.
In my opinion, I think. To have someone to say that they are the Black Panther, more power to them. But I think in this world now, with no borders and no boundaries and people moving, we need to quash out hatred, period.
Oh, period. Yeah. And violence. I mean, you know.
Period.
I mean,
that's the whole talk, you see.
Gandhi,
not even Gandhi. Yeah. Just put the damn guns down and deal with the issues. You know, it's real simple. We can accomplish this, but a response to a gun and with another gun or another bomb or an act of violence is just wrong. So, it's not the time. Okay.
Good discussion you've had.
All righty. Thank you, Dave.
It really sheds some light. I mean, we need that consciousness and you know what? I'm a little excited. This younger generation of folks are, of all colors, that are just understanding that, you know, skin color doesn't matter, you know?
Skin color does matter because the people in power are projecting this on us, and we must separate the two. But, that's what the purpose of my efforts here is
well,
to say. Skin color does matter in America.
Yeah, one of the ideas is to get it beyond that.
Exactly, and that's why I'm saying we have to acknowledge that it exists. It's a problem, right?
Oh, of course.
Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead with your comment.
Well, we only have a minute to.
I know, but now we got 30 seconds. You just
okay. I want you to talk about how the blacks stormed the Democratic Party with Fannie Lou Hamer, and because the Democrats didn't invite us in, we stormed the Bastille.
That wouldn't gel with me now. I'm talking about how the Dixiecrats and the Democrats. Just flat out wouldn't have. Why? We hadn't even got to Fannie Lou Hamer's purpose and cause yet. That's a whole different act. But the Dixiecrats is something that I'm focusing on.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, well.
Just to bring it up to date. That was all that I wanted because you were really doing very well, and I applaud you for all the research. And just that today's party, which is so black, had to be stormed. It didn't walk, open the door and say, "Hey, come in."
Well, I understand that, but also they could have gone to the Republican Party too. So and we've had this debate, not you and I, but others. Why would black people, knowing that the Dixiecrats were embedded in the Democratic Party, why on earth would they go there and demand that they be provided a seat in the Democratic Party when the Republican was less staunch of racist and what have you and had demonstrated that? Why? So it doesn't bode well or speak well for us as African Americans when it comes to making decisions. So I'm always cautious. I admire Fannie Lou Hamer. I grew up under her. My mother was her friend and all of that. But we also have these concerns because why on earth would you want to go in with a group calling themselves Dixiecrats, whose platform and planks are segregation, interracial marriage prohibited, and on and on and on, and black laws and what have you. Maybe we'll talk about that on another occasion, but there's a kind of a jeopardy there that goes unexplained. So, yeah, we did storm in and say we need a position in this party, but why? And why not to the Republican Party? When we
I can at some other time, we're out of time.
Yeah.
Read you the answer to why the Democrats. I do not have an answer to why not the Republicans.
Well, it would be we owe the explanation, not the Republicans. We stormed the doors, and we need to, someone need to ask, why did you go forcing staunch racist white supremacist people to let you be part of their party? You feel, so there is sometimes misery loves company, or I don't know what it is, but it worked. But nonetheless, it speaks to those problems. Well, we're out of time, and we'll see you guys next week.
I love it.
Thank you.